coming to you from the mountains and the plains. The only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance. And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Joe is somewhere in the office. He'll be here shortly. We schedule these out at 1:05 p.m. or 2:05 p.m. Eastern time to give him an extra 5 minutes. But it started creeping a little bit further into the 2:05, so maybe we just try and go back to 2 even and see if we can work around Joe's schedule. But we're live, and today we are covering Joe Biden's disastrous attorney general nominee from yesterday, Merrick Garland. Now, we dodged a serious bullet when we blocked Merrick Garland from reaching the Supreme Court. Because remember, this was Obama's nominee to fill the vacancy left when Antonin Scalia passed away. Obama presented him as a moderate, someone that Republicans and Democrats could support. Even at the time, many Republicans wanted him confirmed. Well, what he revealed to us yesterday is that our suspicions were correct all along. Merrick Garland is pretty much as radical as it gets, both in his answers and his refusal to answer certain questions, which obviously had political meanings behind it. And it kind of shows you that he's been on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. It shows you that he's had these feelings all along. And the whole idea that he was an impartial jurist, very obvious that he could never have been that based on his answers yesterday. So we're going to get into it. We have a lot of cuts to play. So make sure you stick around for that. We're also running a fax blast today to stop him. Link in the description on DLive. There is a panel. You can click that panel and get sent over to our fax blast. I'm also putting it in the comment section. We stopped him from becoming a Supreme Court justice by pressuring Congress and forcing them to hold the line. We only need to flip one Democrat, so that's why we're launching this fax blast today, try and stop this radical from being confirmed. Before we get to that, I just want to show you that we'll wait for Joe before we hit the crux of all this, but he's not the only nominee, only Biden nominee, who has shown really radical beliefs. This is HHS secretary nominee, I guess, Xavier Becerra. This is a question he was posed about partial birth abortion, which people don't know this. Partial birth abortion is the idea that you give birth to the baby and you kill the baby while the baby is being born. Partial birth abortion. Disgusting practice. There should never be partial birth abortion because the Supreme Court precedent in Roe v. Wade only allows for abortion up until viability. So if you can give birth to a baby, you should not be allowed to abort that baby. But I want to give you, just to show you, that it's not just Merrick Garland. It's every single one of these nominees is far too radical to ever hold any position. This is Xavier Becerra being asked about partial birth abortions. Let's play cut number 16.
Mainstream Republicans, or Democrats disagree, but most people agree that partial birth abortion is awful. You voted against a ban on partial birth abortion. Why?
So, Senator, here, I understand that people have different deeply held beliefs on this issue. And I respect that. I have worked, as I've mentioned, for decades trying to protect the health of men and women, young and old. And as Attorney General, my job has been to follow the law and make sure others are following the law. And I'm also sitting in front of a high-risk OBGYN who, for several decades, had the work of protecting the health of women and a future baby. And so I will tell you that when I come to these issues, I understand that we may not always agree on where to go, but I think we can find some common ground on these issues, because everyone wants to make sure that if you have an opportunity, you're going to live a healthy life. And I will tell you that I hope to be able to work with you and others to reach that common ground on so many different issues.
I think we can reach common ground on many issues, but on partial birth abortion, it sounds like we're not going to reach common ground there. Let me turn to Medicare. You want to expand?
So a couple things he said there. He called it a future baby. No, it's a baby. It's not. It's still a human being. An unborn child is still a human being. It's still a baby. He referred to future baby. And he refers to being able to keep them in good health if they are born. Which, yeah, that's the whole point. But there is no common ground on partial birth abortion. It is not just a deeply held belief. It is murder. Partial birth abortion is murder. It is gruesome. It is horrible. So I just wanted to show you how he danced around that issue and tried to make it into bipartisan compromise. There is no compromise on murder. None whatsoever. And that was a rare moment from, Mitt Romney showing that actually every now and then he can actually put forward a conservative belief. So let's dive right into this. Don't know where Joe is. Let's dive right into this. In case you didn't have the chance to watch all of the hearing yesterday, and in case you don't have a chance to watch all of today's podcast, I wanted to be able to put together a little compilation. Well, I didn't put together. I found it. Someone else did. Basically giving you the highlights. So if you can't watch anything other than this, please stay tuned and let's play cut number one to show you what yesterday was like.
Well, I haven't thought about that question I think the president has I just haven't thought about that question. The department will. I think if. If there, just don't know the answer to that question. I haven't thought about it. I assume that the answer would be yes. That
extremism.
I don't know. I have to admit, I just don't know exactly what.
My favorite one, and that was put together by a Twitter user. Make sure you check out his handle. He put it on there as a watermark. My favorite one in all of that is the extremism. So I get it. That's not fair. More happened yesterday than just a bunch of uhs. So I get it. That was a cheap shot. Let's show you the real compilation of what happened yesterday. Let's play cut number two.
Senator, I don't know anything really about the investigation. I don't know very much specifically about your two proposals. I don't know specifically about those. But Senator, I don't know the specifics of the act. I don't know the specifics of how the legislation would do that. I don't know what information the department has now. I don't know enough about the facts of the example you're talking about. But I honestly don't know what happened with the nursing homes. I don't know. With respect to the Durham investigation, I don't know anything about it other than what has appeared in the media. Similarly with Mr. Durham, I don't know anything about that investigation. I don't know very much at all about the policy. I have read but don't know a lot about the solitary confinement issue. Again, I don't know the specifics, but I honestly just don't know. I don't know that much about 230 except for the case. I don't know the statute specifically, provisions that do that, but I don't know the statute, no. The State Department have an obligation to apply that law. I don't know what the guidelines are that you're talking about.
So if you think I wasn't going to just do another cheap shot, yeah, got it. He doesn't know, which is terrifying, because this was the man who was put forward as a Supreme Court nominee. And here when he's actually asked about specific statutes, like, well, I don't know.
I don't know. I've read about solitary confinement, but I don't know. Well, no, you do know about solitary confinement. You sat on the Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, which is the second highest court in the land, and the D.C. Circuit has heard cases about solitary confinement, where he has voted on them. So either he was lying then and never should have voted, or he's lying now.
I don't know.
Yeah, so you go ahead, take both of those compilations, and together they sum up what yesterday was like. A lot of and a lot of I don't knows. But on the things that he did know about, we're going to dive into that because it's equally, if not more, frightening. Like the I don't knows or the refusal to answer the question, that's terrifying because you know he has a real opinion on it. He just doesn't want to share it. You cannot be on the D.C. Court of Appeals and potentially nominated as Attorney General and not show your opinion on confinement, right? In prisons, solitary confinement. It's just not possible. It's not possible at all. Which is why it's so terrifying that he just won't answer the question. But as I said, what he did say is actually more terrifying. Here is a clip of Merrick Garland promising to prosecute all the white supremacists who ransacked the Capitol building. Let's play cut number three.
150 years after the department's founding, battling extremist attacks on our democratic institutions also remains central to the department's mission. From 1995 to 1997, I supervised the prosecution of the perpetrators of the bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building, who sought to spark a revolution that would topple the federal government. If confirmed, I will supervise the prosecution of white supremacists and others who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, a heinous attack that sought to disrupt a cornerstone of our democracy, the peaceful transfer of power to a newly elected government. And that critical work is but a part of the broad scope of the department's responsibilities.
So joining us now, Joe, dressed for success. Welcome, Joe.
How you doing?
So we're covering
Chicago.
We're covering Merrick Garland, who we know a lot about as a Supreme Court nominee. But we're spending today going through all of the crazy things, radical things he said yesterday, and explaining why he cannot under any circumstance become Attorney General. Did you have any chance yesterday to watch any of the clips?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, watched it. And then I had to go take some blood pressure medicine because I was getting too angry about it.
So here he is promising to go after the white supremacists. Now, I hate white supremacists. I don't think there are as many of them as the left claims there are.
There aren't. Most people don't care about race. Most people don't.
What we've talked about on the show, though, is Supreme Court cases that detail that white supremacist beliefs themselves are not criminal. It's when you act on that belief, right? So we can say white supremacists, egregious, terrible. No one likes them. Don't think there are as many as they claim, but fine. Calling everyone at the January 6th protest a white supremacist and promising to prosecute people because of those beliefs, which the Supreme Court has said is constitutionally protected, however egregious it is a red flag, because I'm not one to defend white supremacy. But as we've talked about on the show in the past, there is a slippery slope here, and they go after the low-hanging fruit that they believe no one will put up a fight against, and then they slowly transition to you. We saw it with Alex Jones, right, getting banned, people like Milo Yiannopoulos, and the argument from the right was, oh, well, they said radical things. Well, now where people are getting banned just for saying Joe Biden isn't their president. So when you see stuff like this, you have to fight back against it, because he's not just talking about bona fide white supremacists. He's talking about everyone who happens to hold a conservative belief and anyone who happened to be there.
Hey, this is what they do. This is what they do. They're going to come for conservatives next. They're going to try and break us up, divide us, threaten us. So this is as much a threat against... They're literally just trying to threaten people and make people fearful so that people retract. And what's happening in the conservative movement, right, in the movement of libertarians, and because you heard... You know, what the
idiot that used to be the CIA director, Brennan, you heard him say that, yeah, we need to go after libertarians too, is what they're trying to do is they're trying to isolate people and attack them and destroy them because they're the strongest in the community. They're the strongest in our society. That's all right. They're going to push us and push us and push us until we break. And when we break, we're not going to hide.
So you can see how he's trying to already rewrite history. And that this wasn't a protest where a few people broke through police barriers and an even smaller percentage of them did damage to the Capitol building. It's white supremacy, white supremacy. And this is a clip where he tried to literally rewrite history and declare that there was a Capitol bombing on January 6th. Let's play cut number four.
...of domestic terrorism. Is this something that you will look at in terms of the degree of the resources of the agency?
Yeah, as I say that, I think the first thing I should do as part of the my briefings on the Capitol bombing are briefings with Director Wray as to where he sees the biggest threat and
Capitol
the resources
bombing.
Of the Bureau and of the Department are allocated towards the biggest threat and the most dangerous and direct threat. We do have to be careful across the board. We can never, let somebody sneak around the end because we're not focusing, but we also have to allocate our resources towards the biggest threat.
Great. And I'd like to shift back to marijuana.
So
I'd like to shift back to marijuana.
But the Capitol bombing that never happened. Joe, do you think he's talking about Susan Rosenberg, the person at the top of BLM, who actually bombed the Capitol? Do you think he's talking about them?
Who was let out of prison so she could continue the reign of terror with the radical left. I mean, the radical left is what they are, the radical left. They're terrorists. Does it surprise you, Max, that they're liars? Does it truly surprise you that they're liars? I think he's probably talking about...
The only one I can think of is that Susan Rosenberg.
You mean the one that got commuted so she could actually run and start raising money for radicals and terrorists?
We live streamed the whole thing. We saw some crimes being committed, some bad actors breaking windows, breaking doors, destroying offices. Didn't see any bombings.
Hey, do we have any footage of what they did in burning down buildings in Minneapolis? Do we have any footage of that? How about the people that
we don't have any footage ready to go, but it should be seared in everyone's mind. But remember, that was a fiery but mostly peaceful protest.
Yeah.
Well, I make sure that
people died in
those terms.
Yeah, and that's an acceptable loss. But if we just save one life by staying home to flatten the curve for 2 weeks, 2 years, because now they're saying we can't go back until 2022.
We're coming up on the one-year anniversary of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I think we're going to have a party. We're going to have a little fiesta in honor of the 2 weeks to flatten the curve that have lasted 1 year. That's coming up in the next month. But with this, I mean,
you can't
no
make
bombing.
This stuff up. You cannot
no
make
bombing.
This stuff up. Can't make
There's
this
no bombing. Oh, well, my first action is going to be meet with the FBI on the Capitol bombing. That didn't happen? I mean, they tried to link the pipe bombs with the Capitol attack, insurrection. But then they got caught labeling the wrong date that the pipe bombs, alleged pipe bombs, had been caught the day prior. So they got caught misdating it to try and apply it to January 6th. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I don't think he's talking about Rosenberg. I don't think that's a promise to go after BLM. I think it's a promise to go after the conservatives. But as we talked about yesterday, he's definitely not going after Antifa.
And we Why would we go after?
I want to play it again because I can't wrap my head around this. It's his idea that it isn't terrorism if it happens after business hours, if it happens at night. And that's why Antifa and BLM shouldn't be charged with terrorism. Let's go ahead and put up cut number five.
Yes, I think discrimination is morally wrong. Absolutely.
You're aware that President Biden has signed an executive order stating that his administration will affirmatively advance racial equity, not racial equality, but racial equity.
Yes, and I read the opening of that executive order, which defines equity as the fair and impartial treatment of
every
person.
We got the wrong one.
That's not equity.
We got the wrong clip.
That's equality.
We got the wrong clip. Mr. Producer, pull up the one yesterday. It's the first one I sent you yesterday by Facebook, the Facebook one. I'll copy and paste it to you again. Sorry, that was the wrong clip. It got mislabeled. So as Mr. Producer Josh is pulling that up, we'll get to the equity. That's just like a crazy statement. But what he said in this clip, as Mr. Producer's getting it ready to go on that video, is that if you try to burn down a federal courthouse after hours, if you try to blow it up, if you try to kill the police officers guarding it, it doesn't qualify as, I don't know, domestic terrorism. Because apparently domestic terrorism only happens during hunting
hours. We're ready
hours,
to go. We're ready to go.
Which is just 30 minutes after sunrise and 30 minutes before sunset. Let's go ahead and play that.
Let me ask you about assaults on federal property in places other than Washington, D.C., Portland, for instance, Seattle. Do you regard assaults on federal courthouses or other federal property as acts of domestic extremism, domestic terrorism?
Well, Senator, my own definition, which is about the same as the statutory definition, is the use of violence or threats of violence in an attempt to disrupt democratic processes. So an attack on a courthouse while in operation, trying to prevent judges from actually deciding cases, that plainly is
unbelievable.
extremism, domestic terrorism, an attack simply on a government property at night or any other kind of circumstances is a clear crime and a serious one and should be punished. I don't know enough about the facts of the example you're talking about, but that's where I draw the line. One is both are criminal. But one is a core attack on our democratic institutions.
So that's not the definition.
They're not democratic.
No one listened to what he just said. You will be dumber having listened to what he just said.
That was a great. Can we play like, that? We can't play that, can we?
No, we can't. We cannot play Billy Madison, but we should. Everyone in this room, I can quote it. Everyone in this room is dumber for having heard that answer. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul, Merrick Garland. They can't copyright strike us for quoting it. Here is the actual definition. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. This is from 28 CFR section 0.85. Terrorism is defined in the Code of Federal Regulation as, quote, the unlawful use of force and violence against persons or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. I gave you a very condensed version of that. The use or threat of the use of force to achieve a political objective. That's basically what this is. Though it also can be social objectives, apparently. So terrorism is not confined to the 9-to-5 business hour. That's just
no.
It's just not true.
It is. It is.
Right. It's just not true.
Yeah.
There are
for the radical left
attacks all over the world that happen at night. If that was the case, they wouldn't have any security at the State of the Union address because you can't have terrorism at night.
Yeah, you can't have terrorism.
Once that sun goes down, you just send all the Secret Service away because there's no terrorism at night.
Right. No need for razor wire either.
It's the dumbest comment ever. And remember, this guy was on the Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, the second highest court in the land, and Obama tried to elevate him to the Supreme Court. And his deeply held belief, apparently, is that terrorism only applies if it's against democratic institutions, which I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if you're an Antifa type, right? Remember, Antifa's whole thing is that it's not assault if you punch a fascist. It's not murder to kill a fascist. If they are hearing this guy who wants to be the attorney general telling them that it's not domestic terrorism if it is an assault against an undemocratic institution, right? He didn't say that, but if he says that it has to be against a democratic institution to be terrorism, you can basically infer the opposite, that if it's against an undemocratic, it's not terrorism, which is exactly what Antifa's argument is, that courthouse was engaged in undemocratic operations. That's what they do it against ICE detention centers. That's why they try and kill ICE agents and try and burn down ICE detention centers, because they believe that the illegal aliens being detained there, that it is a violation of the Constitution, violation of our democratic norms. I mean, I don't want to put the words in his mouth, but when you only define terrorism in terms of damage done to democratic institutions, that is a dog whistle. That is absolutely a dog whistle for the far left, and making sure they understand that if they go after things believed to be undemocratic, it might still be criminal, but they wouldn't get the death penalty with a terrorist charge. Interesting how that works. Interesting.
I don't know what to say other than we're talking about stupid. And so this morning when I woke up, I said, why do we spend so much time talking about stupid? Why do we spend so much time talking about the left and how?
Because there's a lot of stupid.
Because there are a lot of stupid. And because we're hoping that we can stop people from becoming stupid. But
well, this guy's already stupid. We're trying to stop him from being the
chief. Can you imagine if this guy,
if
this guy was on the Supreme Court, if he would have made it to the Supreme Court?
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Thank God.
Think about that.
It wasn't God's intervention. It was all of us. We fought to make sure he didn't get onto the Supreme Court, which again is why we're running a fax blast today to stop him from becoming attorney general, because we only have to flip one Democrat. And we're seeing with other Biden nominees that they're losing Democrat support. They're losing it. They're losing it because they are very radical. This guy cannot be in charge of the Department of Justice of anything if he believes that terrorism can't happen at night.
Yeah, and it can't happen at night at all. Nope.
He's the chief law enforcement officer. He's supposed to protect us from terrorism. And apparently his belief is that terrorism doesn't exist half of the day.
Can we get a time, though? Does it start like 5 a.m., 6 a.m.? I just want to know when the time ends.
I don't know. That's why I think it might be hunting rules. Maybe it's half an hour before sunrise, half an hour after sunset. He doesn't like guns, so he's not a hunter. We'll get to that in a second. But there's really, we're in uncharted territory here. This idea that there's no terrorism at night. So maybe we'll play that again because later it's just so crazy. So very, very crazy. He was asked whether he had any comment on James Comey. And of course he had none. Let's go ahead and play cut number 6.
The Horowitz report, do you think Jim Comey was a good FBI director?
Senator, I really don't want to get into analyzing any of the previous directors.
Well, you've been very critical, and appropriately so at times. I just find it pretty stunning that you can't say, in my view, that he was a terrible FBI director. But
so this is a fair question. It's a loaded question, but it's a fair question.
And he wouldn't answer it.
This guy wants to be the attorney general. He would be in charge of implementing policy. And if he's not willing to say that what James Comey did was bad, even just that, what James Comey did was bad, and I promise I won't do it again, how could anyone vote for this man? Oh, well, no, we live in a country where we have ends justify the means politics. And as long as he's going after the right people, Democrats will support it. I don't get it.
How many political prisoners do you think we'll have over the next 2 to 3 years?
He promises none. He promises he's not going to go after anyone who opposes Joe
how many
Biden.
Political, I'm going to just ask you a question. How many political prisoners do you think we will have over the next 2 to 3 years?
I don't know.
I mean, if you're listening, how many people do you think?
Over under 10,000? Oh, over under? I think that's a fair over under.
Well, I think I'm on the list.
That's a lot of political prisoners.
I'm on their hit list.
Yeah, I'm about to hop on a plane that is connected to your itinerary, so I might get a nice little cavity search.
I had to do two itineraries just to make sure that that's how crazy this is. I mean, I'm headed to CPAC, and I have to have two itineraries so that I can make sure that while I'm there, I'm safe.
And Joe, you have all of our, you're going to have all of our equipment with you.
Yeah.
So since we know you're going to get the pat down treatment, we know you're going to.
I'm not going to get the pat down treatment. I'm not going to get the pat down treatment.
Yeah, you are. Just show up a little early.
I fly all the time. I fly all the time.
I'm not going to get the pat down. I have very clear memories of us running through the airport because we got there half an hour before our plane takes off. So just show up a little early because you know that you're going to get the woohoo treatment. And if anyone doesn't know what the woohoo treatment is, I'm not going to say it because that would not be family friendly. Won't comment on Comey. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I was just going to say that we have these circular arguments where we're talking about it. We have to get to the point where we're actually willing to do action, right? So we talk about what's wrong, and we have to be able to stand up. And so going through this process, I'm gonna continue to hit it again. You know, if you want an organization that is actually going to go nationwide that you can actually depend on, FEC United is one of those organizations. So you can actually send in letters and faxes and do the things that we do in order to talk to your leaders. We have a new site and a bunch of new technology we're actually launching as well. But secondarily, you can join an organization where you can get together with other people. We have got to start taking massive action. We have to fatigue them because they're weak. And even when they stand together, we have to show them that we're not, that this is, we're going to do this every weekend. We're going to do it every week. We're going to continue over and over and over again to attack them where they are, right? And I don't mean physically attack. I mean attack them where they are. They don't get to come and hurt Americans the way that they're hurting them right now without accountability. They don't get that. And so we have to be willing to stand up, and we got to be willing to stand with other people, set aside some of the smaller things that actually differentiate us and get to some of the bigger things that, bind us together.
So
the Constitution.
We're talking about, you and I disagree on just how much should get set aside. And the left always is trying to set aside things that really shouldn't be set aside. Right before you got on, we played Javier Becerra, the HHS nominee, saying that he didn't want to talk about partial birth abortion because while it's a deeply held belief that many has, he hopes that they'll will find common ground on it, right? Where there's no common ground to be had on things like that. That's just the biggest fear I have, is that when you set things aside, those things are very important. They might not be as important as X, Y, and Z for some people, but that always just gets concerning to me, because that's the language that the Democrats use. We can find some common ground on murdering babies halfway through a partial birth. I get very nervous. I know that's not what you're advocating. I want to fight for everything. I don't want to leave anything off, because everything is worthwhile, because if they get even one inch on any of these issues, it's going to be catastrophic.
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to push towards one universal idea, and that is accountability. That the Constitution means something, that law and order means law and order. But they've already ignored law and order, thrown it out the window. I mean, they're electing someone that basically said that although it's a crime, it's not terrorism to blow up a building. I mean, think about that.
At night.
Allegedly. And the fact is, we have to say allegedly. We should have
no,
to
no, he said that. Allegedly. He said that. He said it right now, in his opinion, it would not be terrorism because it happened at night. And that you cannot have disrupted a democratic institution because court was not in session.
Yeah. So FEC United is in every state, by the way. It's just whether or not we've established chapters and charters in those areas. So sign up, and over time, we'll actually elect leadership in those particular states to give us the ability to stand up together. We're doing some amazing things in Colorado. I mean, look, they're attacking me like crazy. Oh, and I want to plug Darcy, who yesterday sent me a message saying, hey, I did not put out information that you're a racist. And I had to respond, this Darcy Schoening person, who, by the way, is aligning herself with the establishment left Republicans.
Is that the article we read yesterday?
Yeah.
It says she runs people of color.
And I basically said, listen, you have nothing to worry about. So the lawsuit's coming. You already said in your article, you have nothing to worry about for lawsuits. So I think you're everything's okay. Just keep doing that. So I said that to her. No response.
Yeah.
After, by the way, so I own an event center that our family's owned for, it was the house it's a home that I used to live in. It's my home. And so we turned it into an event center. And so I went back and looked at the messages that she had sent me. And she actually asked me back in October of last year to, she sent me, asking me to a free wedding for someone who lost their home in the fire.
Oh.
I'm going through it. I go, yeah. I mean, obviously somebody loses their home, they have a wedding and things like that. We do a lot. I spend a lot of time and money and effort helping people in need. But it amazes me that this is a person that actually says, came to me to help someone do a free wedding, and then 3 months later becomes the shill for the establishment left Republicans.
Well, this is what I mean. It's ends justify the means politics.
Right.
As long as there's some way for you to help them or someone they care about, they'll work with you. But until that evaporates, no, then you're back to being a racist.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I mean, what does it say about them? They believe you're a racist, but they're also asking you to give them free stuff. What kind of person would go to someone who they believe to be a racist, white supremacist, domestic terrorist, right? What kind of person would go to them and ask for help?
So we just had an event.
You think they'd
that,
run?
Yeah. So we just had an event in May that I'm speaking at to 2,300 people. They sold 2,300 tickets so far, 2,400 tickets so far, that I'm going to speak to this group in California. When we hold events in FEC and we talk about what we're doing, and we talk about what FEC is about, 300 to 500 people show up to every event. We have it twice a month typically. Now we've skipped about 4 weeks because we're working on infrastructure, but the GOP could never get 300 to 500 people to show up to an event ever, let alone get new people that actually show up to talk about what FEC United is doing. So I know that they're afraid based on how many people we have, how many members we have, which is nearly 95,000. I know they're afraid of what FEC United is doing. I know they're afraid of me because they wouldn't be attacking me. Now they've added you to the list, Max. So congratulations.
Yeah.
And Conservative Daily. Because we're in the top, one of the top conservative podcasts in the nation. But it amazes me that they continue to attack and lie and slander me as if I care. Like, I don't care. I consider the source. And the people that do care, I always say the people that matter don't care, and the people that care don't matter. But and they just hate the fact that we're actually going to change and get rid of these left Republicans from the GOP. We'll start in Colorado and move across the nation, and we'll just eradicate them, get rid of them. And then we'll go after the left after we have a full
foundation. I'm a racist because I made fun of Lori Lightfoot, which Mr. Producer put up my screen. This is what Lori Lightfoot dressed up as for Halloween. She dressed up as apostrophe Rona Destroyer.
Yeah.
That was her superhero costume, the Rona Destroyer.
I want you to point out the mental midgetry that we're dealing with. I mean, I want to point that out. These are elected leaders. This is how the erosion of just simple, I don't even know what you call it, simple.
Is it bad? I can't. Is it bad that the part I hate about this is that she is the mayor of Chicago, and instead of just saying Corona Destroyer, that she's buying into like a slang Rona Destroyer? I mean, that's the part I hate the most about this, beyond just how stupid it looks. And Listen, I'd say that about any skin color in that kind of costume. Has nothing to do with her race. Nothing. But personally, I take the most offense with Rona Destroyer because it treats kids like they're stupid.
If she dresses up as, if somebody says Beetlejuice three times, will you dress up as Beetlejuice?
If someone says Beetlejuice three times, someone gets shot in the streets of Chicago. Don't do that.
Are you serious?
Don't do that. Yeah, that's how magic works.
Oh, boy.
Why do you think there's so many shootings?
I was like, what are you talking about? I'm going to go to Chicago and be like, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Why do you think there's so many shootings?
Hey, does anybody listening actually know what Rosangelas is?
I don't know, but no free ads.
Rosangelas. It's a great place, pizza place in Chicago. It's been around a long time. Anyway, I was there a couple
weeks
ago.
So he wouldn't comment on Comey. Maybe we'll make fun of Lori Lightfoot later. But Garland wouldn't comment on Comey, which is disastrous because you would think that he'd want to not go down the same path as Comey. You know, getting secret surveillance warrants against people in violation of their constitutional rights, using trumped up evidence, actually fabricated evidence to get those warrants extended. You'd think that someone would not want to do that. Right? You think that that's just a basic requirement. Don't violate the other side's constitutional rights. He also refused to commit to allow the Durham investigation, John Durham, to continue, or that his findings would be released publicly. Let's play cut number 7.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Garland, I want to go back to the topic of protecting the Department of Justice from political influence and being weaponized politically. A number of Senate Democrats at this hearing have used the opportunity to cast aspersions to the job Bill Barr did as Attorney General. I think those aspersions are false. I think he showed enormous courage in fighting to defend the rule of law. But Bill Barr, when explicitly asked about whether he would terminate Robert Mueller at his confirmation hearing, the same situation you find yourself, he said he would not terminate him absent, quote, good cause. Are you willing to meet the same standard of integrity that Bill Barr demonstrated? And will you make that same commitment to this committee that you will not terminate Mr. Durham absent good cause?
What I've said to the committee and just what is that I need to get information about this investigation, which I do not have here. I understand that a decision has been made to keep him in place, and I have absolutely no reason to doubt that that was the right decision and that he should be kept in place. But I can't go any further without learning the facts of the investigation and what the status is.
So Judge Garland, with all due respect.
So he asked him, point blank, will you commit to not firing him unless he presents good cause?
Can't even answer that question.
His answer was,
can't answer that question either.
He wants to look into it first, right? Which, yeah, sure, he could look into it and maybe he could find good cause. But it's a very blanket statement. He won't promise. He won't promise.
No, why would he? Why he doesn't have to. Because they get to get away with whatever they want to get away with because there's no accountability. At some point, we got to stand up and say something and do something. You know what the people on January 6th, you know why they stormed the Capitol? No. No representation. I don't even care if they're Antifa people.
We don't know why they stormed because there were Antifa people. There were CNN photojournalists involved.
Yeah, but the reason why they're going to pick and choose their winners and losers on the steps of those Capitol. But the reason why people were at that Capitol to begin with is because there's no transparency, no accountability, and the left lies. They lie about everything. That's why they were there on January 6th. They weren't there just because of an election. They were there because across the nation we're last. And they recognize that this administration was going to come in and make them last. People are pissed. If you were to hold that January 6th today, you'd have 500,000 more people there. You'd have 500,000 more people there, and you would have had the building burned to the ground. That's what would happen if we...
It doesn't matter.
I'm telling you what would happen based on what's happening across the country. 1.4 million people lose their jobs. 891,000 is the new... unemployment for the week, right? New unemployment applications. I'm not telling you that I want to get to violence. I'm going to tell you right now that in the last, and this is a good statistic, last 14 days, there's an article, and I'm actually going to find it, and I'm probably off by a few, but they're predicting that nearly 20 people now, it was 11 in the first 72 hours that were worked on the pipeline that committed suicide. Now they're saying more than 20 people that worked on the pipeline and can't get a job have committed suicide. Let me just tell you about this one. A husband and wife, suicide couple, and killed their two kids as a result of the fact that he couldn't get a job and he thought there was no future for his children in this country. How about that? Unintended consequences where we can destroy Americans' lives while we're looking out for people coming across the border. All I'm telling you is that people in this country are tired. We're sick and tired. We're sick and tired of the lack of accountability, and we're sick and tired of clowns like this Merrick fellow actually even being considered. But it's the innate evil of the left. They lie, cheat, steal. The reason why they had to steal an election is because they can't win it with their policies. Because nobody wants to follow a loony leftist policy where, you need to denounce your whiteness. You need to bow down to minorities. I'm not bowing down to anybody. White. Everyone is equal under, even if gay, straight, black, white, green, purple with web feet, I don't care what you are. You have equal opportunity. Now, do I think that people interfere with that opportunity? Yeah. It's called leftists. That's why every one of the communities that they actually represent are trash. Look at what's happening in New York. They can't even concentrate on the real problems. They have to keep us distracted with all this crap. So that you don't concentrate on what's really happening. I don't have opportunity because of racism. No, you don't have opportunity because the leftists in this country are destroying every opportunity that you, your kids, or anyone else could have. Because you fall behind on math and science and basic civics. So it's more important to tear down a statue than it is to actually concentrate on opportunity that's going to help your family. And not just your family, but generational wealth. But you don't get that opportunity. Because we're over here saying, poor me, I'm a victim. And by the way, let's elect these clowns with zero accountability. So when I say that January 6th, it's mounting. If we were to have a January 6th a month from now, it's going to get worse. Yet people are dying in the streets and drugs are becoming the new thing. Let's just make it all legal so that we can't arrest drug dealers. Let's let the drug dealers and pimps and prostitutes and everyone just come in from South America. Let's do that. I'm amazed at the fact that we even have to have a conversation about common sense. We have to teach people what common sense is. Why is it not common? Why do people not understand that our kids can't even do math? They can't even do math. Common Core. Let's go to this. 2 + 2. Now it doesn't equal 4. It might be 4.5. Ugh.
Yeah. So this right. next clip, it's a question posed to Merrick Garland about a woman named Kristen Clark. Kristen Clark is the president of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law and is Biden's choice for assistant attorney general to head the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. And she has said some pretty racist things in the past, including comparing white and black genetics, almost from like a eugenics perspective. And just in case anyone thinks I'm just making all of this up, put up my screen, Mr. Producer. Fact checked by Newsweek. Fact checked by Newsweek. Did Joe Biden's assistant AG pick right about black versus white genetics? Scroll down to the bottom. Yes. But they said it was not serious. But she did write it. They're saying that it wasn't serious. That she's just trying to show how crazy it is. So we're going to take that down. This is a true statement. I want to play the clip of Merrick Garland being asked whether he supported her because he said in the past that she absolutely should have positions in government. So let's play this cut number 8.
We will pass statements, statements in the past as an adult declaring that one racial group is superior to another. Would statements like that be relevant to an evaluation of whether such a person should be put in charge of running the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division?
So, Senator, I've read in the last few days these allegations about Kristen Clark, who I also have gotten to know, who I also trust, who I believe is a person of integrity, whose views about the Civil Rights Division I have discussed with her. And they are in line with my own. I have every reason to want her. She is an experienced former blind prosecutor of hate crimes. And we need somebody like that to be running the...
I'm asking about the statement. I'm not asking about her as a person. I'm asking about the statement. Would, in the abstract, would someone who has made that comment, would that comment itself be relevant to the question whether that person, having made that statement, should be put in charge of running the Civil Rights Division?
All I can tell you is I've had many conversations with her about her views about that, about the Civil Rights Division, about what kind of matter she would investigate.
What about anti-Semitic comments? Would those be relevant to someone wanting to run
the
Civil
Rights
Division?
You know my views about anti-Semitism. No one needs to question those.
I'm not questioning your
views. I know you're not, but I also want you to know I'm a pretty good judge of what an anti-Semite is. And I have.
No, you're not.
I do not believe that she is an anti-Semite, and I do not believe she is discriminatory in any sense.
Okay, tell me this, Judge. You are a man of integrity.
You know he's not a man of integrity. No, he's not. No, he's not.
She said these things. She said those things, talking about the superiority of black people because of genetics. She said them. You can't just go back and say, oh, well, she didn't really mean any of it. I mean, obviously, that's what you would say in that situation. It was published. She wrote it down and had it published. You can't just claim it didn't happen, so the only way to get around it is to say you didn't mean it. Instead of him saying, well, if she meant it, that's very bad, he just says, well, I support her. I think she'd be great. That's exactly the kind of person I want there, working on hate crimes, because someone like that, it is very reasonable to conclude that someone like that would only prosecute one kind of hate crime, right? Would not prosecute black-on-white crime. No, they would only prosecute the politically expedient kinds of hate crimes, whether or not they even are hate crimes. So I'm shocked that after being read her statements, after having read them himself, he would still conclude and even say that her position is his and that they are on the same page. Stunning. The only reason you'd say that is if you truly believe there nothing you could say could possibly derail your nomination.
They can say whatever they want. I mean, that they can say whatever they want. The left can say whatever they want until we decide that we're going to stand up as Americans and say, you're done. We've had enough. Until we get to the point where we've had enough and they know that we're serious about having enough, until we actually can hold the news media accountable, until we can help get off of some of the platforms, which, by the way, we need to start posting DLive on Facebook so we can get people from Facebook over to DLive.
Yeah, we do that, and when we do it, Facebook only allows 10 people to see it. because they deliberately throttle any kind of video link leading you off of Facebook.
Okay, DLive.tv/conservative daily.
Yep. DLive. Links are in the description.
Yeah.
It's and, you can get there. Yeah. There, the link's in the description. You can get there every day. We're on there. We'll be back on YouTube, I guess, in 2 to 3 days. as long as they don't go
we'll
back.
Be and, there for and, a minute.
Yeah, as long as they don't go back and look at anything else Joe has ever said.
Don't talk about me. Hey, I'm standing up.
So we'll be back there in a couple of days. I want to remind everyone that we are doing a gun giveaway this month. Mr. Producer, go ahead, put up that image. We are giving away an FMK 9mm Elite Pro Plus handgun, complete with a threaded barrel and a red dot sight. A $650 value. So there's a link in the description. Also, we send out the link with our text alerts. Make sure you head over there and you sign up for that free gun giveaway. It'll be running through March 19th, and we will be at CPAC. And Joe, do we have confirmation that we're going to be broadcasting from Media Row?
We will be broadcasting from Media Row. Yes, we will.
So we're going to be there. I also just ordered a little laminated poster of that giveaway. So if you're going to be at CPAC, you can head on over to our little station in Media Row, and you can use your QR code reader, and you can instantly sign up for that giveaway there as well. And if you're going to be at CPAC, let us know. Send us a message, and we'd love to meet you and meet you in person. So we don't know what time we're going to be broadcasting, because there's lots of people on Media Row, lots of people in the same time slot. But we will be broadcasting. It might change from day to day. But
we tomorrow, are we going to do one early in the morning before we go?
I'm on the air. I'm on the plane at 9 a.m. So I was going to record one tonight and have it just broadcast.
All right.
A short one. I'm in the air at 9 a.m. and I don't land until 3 p.m. I think Eastern time.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be possible to do live tomorrow, but through the rest of the week we'll be able to go live from CPAC.
At least one of us will be on live, because we've got a bunch of things that we have to attend during CPAC as well. But it should be a really interesting, fun environment. The part that I always have trepidation about specifically is the number of rhinos and left publicans that actually attend, right? People that are actually just trying to distract and create, you know, chaos within the Republican Party. They're the distractors. And we, you know, frankly, we had them inside of FEC United, and I cut them out. And they're like, well, I'm a Republican. I was like, nope, you're not the type of Republican we need. Anybody that causes arguments and fights with other people inside the movement, we don't need you. So I'm just, those are just the things that I personally look for. And I'll have security there. So we'll have somebody, don't come running up to me if you see me and you're going.
don't just try and give him a hug.
Yeah, don't do that.
You won't be able to just, no hugging.
Yeah.
Let's keep the social distancing.
Yeah.
Keep the social distancing. So we're going to be at CPAC all this week. We're going to come back on the other side of this break with the second hour, keep going through the cuts from yesterday with Merrick Garland. He said a lot of crazy things. And we're going to talk about the cages that Joe Biden is now putting kids in and how the media isn't outraged this time. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Ronald Reagan famously said that our freedoms are never more than a generation away from extinction. Conservative Daily exists to make sure that never happens. With our community of 700,000 members, we fight every day to hold Congress's feet to the fire and stop them from surrendering our rights and freedoms. The fight to take this country back is not over. Please join our movement right now by going to conservative-daily.com and clicking the subscribe button to sign up for our free call to action newsletters. We have a chance to save this country, but only if we all work together. Again, this is conservative-daily.com, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button at the top.